And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, James producing the operation. Going to switch gears, talk a little college football now as we'll hit the gamut with everything. If you guys haven't checked out 249 miles of football podcast, distance between Bill Snyder Family Stadium and Faurot Field, Lawrence in between, check it out, 610sports.com or go to at 610sportskc. Hear from Coach Kleiman, Coach Leipold, and Jalen Daniels. Big 12 Media Days wrap up. Brett, your Mark Talk and Mizzou recruiting if you want to hear from Drew Nixon, a college football guru and someone I love to talk college football with. What's up, Drew? And the producer, Cody Gold. What's up, Drew? Drew, where's Drew at? Drew, are you there? Drew, are you there? Maybe this phone line's not working, James. Let's see. Are you in the air?
Oh,
yes. Yeah, you're there.
I'm able to hear you now. I couldn't hear you.
You couldn't hear that introduction I gave you?
No, I heard a little bit of it, and then you cut out.
Oh, yeah, college football guru, the 249 miles of football podcast. What you got coming on this week with Coach Kleiman, Coach Leipold, Jalen Daniels, Big 12 Media Days wrap up. By the way, I said you were coming on our first text that we got when I said you were coming on. I'll read it to you. It's from the 816. Eating is a sport, Bink. Can't let Drew take our boy Chestnut off his podium. The man is a dominant athlete, and Drew is just jealous from Zach. Drew, I have not talked competitive eating. I have not talked this at all, but that was the first text I got instead of college football question.
We need to try to change that. I'm not going to rescind my take, but I'm going to try to avoid mentioning it again.
Good stuff. But the Big 12 Media Days were in Las Vegas. Last couple of days, I guess one of the things that made me smile and crack up a little bit, obviously the adoration these coaches have for Coach Prime, but the fact that a four-win team's quarterback, Shedeur Sanders, was talking about being everybody's Super Bowl, and I thought, okay. Nobody, you lost six straight games down the stretch. I think you're everybody's homecoming game, not their Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's really, I get why they might think that. I mean, it's good to think that at least. I mean, it helps you get up for every game, I think, in a way as well. Sure. But yeah, what you said, we saw what Oregon did to them, and I think it wasn't necessary. They weren't everybody's Super Bowl. Everybody wanted to beat them badly to prove a point of, you're not just going to talk smack and act like you are, you know, the best team in the country when you're far from that. Everybody wanted to take advantage of beating the brakes off of them, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, they enjoyed doing that, but the Big 12 had a different look. It looks like all these coaches really welcoming the other schools. Certainly looks different than the original members they had in this conference. And, you know, the talk lately, and we saw some rumors about it the other day with Clemson and Florida State. You've heard from credible people like Ross Dellinger go out and talk about it from Yahoo, that there have been talks. Hey, any kind of smoke is fire, in my opinion, because – we didn't hear anything about Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, and they just did it. We didn't hear anything about USC and UCLA jumping to the Big Ten, and they just did it. We're actually hearing about conversations going forward with Florida State and Clemson. Do I think they'd rather be in the Big Ten or the SEC? 100%. I'm not sure, Drew, that they actually want them. They could actually end up in the Big 12.
Yeah, I think the one that's interesting is – the Big Ten. I don't know how I know the Big Ten would like them, but in terms of the academic stuff, I know that a lot of people love to look at the on-field stuff, the college basketball, the college football, et cetera. But with the Big Ten, they've got it's not a nagging thing, but they've got an itch for schools that academically meet some of the standards that they like. Whether Florida State and Clemson are in that alliance, essentially, if you will, the allegiance of American universities, I don't know. But I think if the SEC sits on their hands a little bit too long, and Brett Yormark, it sounds like, has been aggressive in trying to pursue this, which, credit to him, he's been more proactive than reactive in what he's decided 100%. To do with the conference, which has helped keep it alive. I think that's something that when you look at the job that Brett Yormark has done, his aggressiveness, maybe Florida State and Clemson fall in love with the idea of being the big dogs in the Big 12, at least in terms of being the biggest brands in the conference.
With Texas and Oklahoma leaving, they would be. That would be the biggest brands that we have. The ACC, well, listen, they have the ACC network that was supposed to go a different direction. But the ACC has not nearly been as stable. And not only that, when you add schools like SMU, you know, a lot of those schools in that conference are kind of going, okay, what's going on here? Because North Carolina's teetering too. Like, North Carolina's a teetering team as well. Florida State and Clemson, I get it. The ACC did pay their schools more money last year, but the Big 12 has new media rights coming out, and obviously that would go up. And I know teams are worried about, you know, spreading the pie. If you had two more teams, you get the 18 teams take less money. I'm not so sure Yarmark won't start a Big 12 network. I know they don't have one. The Big 10 does. The SEC, the ACC, the Pac-12 did. Kevin Weberg, the old Big 12 commissioner, actually left in the middle of being a commissioner to start the Big 10 network. It is important. I could totally see him doing this with an all-around network to raise more money. And if they do this all-state thing where it's the all-state conference for the Big 12, which I don't care about anymore, it's fine. They deserve to make money just like everybody else, these schools do, and the conference does. But, man, the Big 12 could become more lucrative than the ACC really quickly.
Yeah, I think that's the competitor that they're trying to oust. They already ousted the Pac-12, obviously, with them no longer existing. If they can continue to build and find new ways to make more revenue and get ahead of where the ACC is, which I think you can make the argument that they already are, then nobody wants to leave the Big 12 right now. You got a few schools that you mentioned, Bink, that want to leave the ACC and sure. It's public knowledge. That's a situation that Brett Yarmark obviously wants to avoid. I think the Big 12 network idea is a really good one because, as you mentioned, the SEC and the Big 12 or the Big 10 have it.
It's just propaganda, you know, Drew. It's just propaganda for you. I mean, you put everyone on the hell, and you get live sporting events on it, which are huge.
Yeah, I think there's so many different ways that the Big 12 can profit off of whatever it may be. And I think that's one of the things. Give credit to Brett Yarmark. And, I mean, Deion Cole called him a baller.
Shot caller, huh?
Yeah, he's a guy that is not going to sit back and wait for other people to make a move, and then they're going to be late to the party. And that's the reason why they're still existing and why the Pac-12 isn't, is George Klavkov sat on his hands a little bit and didn't really try to get the new – he didn't try to modernize the conference enough, and that's why they're no longer existing. Brett Yarmark has done a great job of that, and he's got a lot of props from a lot of the coaches in the league, a lot of the presidents in the league. I think that's why a lot of people want to be a part of the Big 12 conference, which is obviously a great thing.
It's funny just how much he saved this conference. This conference is, you know, twice about to go away, and I know Kansas was worried about, you know, bring the level of their football team up to match their basketball to be lucrative. To the Big Ten. The original talks back in like 2010-11 about Oklahoma and Texas going to the Pac-12, then it looked like the Pac-12 was going to raid the Big 12. But to come from the dead like he did, and with Bowlesby, you know, losing Texas and Oklahoma literally in the middle of the night, not even knowing it, I can't believe it, but Yarmark has done an incredible job. Utah leads the way in the football media preseason poll with 20 first-place votes. Kansas State with 19, Oklahoma State 14, Kansas with 5 first place votes at number 4 in the conference. Yes, it's interesting seeing K-State not in the middle of the pack. I agree. And here's the one thing with Kansas State, and I'll ask you in a second who I think you think is going to win the Big 12. But isn't it funny that Will Howard has the 4th best odds to win the Heisman, both on DraftKings and FanDuel? Yeah. Here's a guy that was basically pushed out because of Avery Johnson.
Yeah, that I think is – it's crazy because Kansas State didn't necessarily need to move on from anybody. It's not like Will Howard was playing bad and they just needed to move on to the next guy. It's just that Avery Johnson is potentially that big of a player, that big time of a player, that dude who can just take from last year and just even build on it further. That's why they think the pass game is going to be better. That's why they brought in Matt Wells. If I were to pick right now, I think I would say Kansas State is the team that I would pick to win – because Coach Klieman has been there, done that. He's already won a Big 12 conference title. I know Utah is also up there and favored. The Cam Rising health issue isn't necessarily as bad, I guess, or as questionable as Jalen Daniels. But Cam Rising has had a little bit of health issues. So, and I don't know if they are built to win a conference title without him even, or even contend in that regard. So Avery Johnson, obviously health is imperative to him too. But what he brings to the table and what Coach Klieman has done in the portal, I think, has been enough for them to continue to be in a win-now mode and address the issues like the offensive line and continue to build up the defense that just needs to be good enough. The offense is really good. They can be accentuated by Avery Johnson. I do think Kansas is an interesting team, though, Bink, and I know that, like, Jalen Daniels is a guy that, if he's healthy – he's a Heisman candidate, but he hasn't been healthy. And there's a lot of questions surrounding his health. My impression of Kansas, though, they have one of, if not the easiest schedule in the Big 12. If you told me right now, Bank, that Jalen Daniels was healthy for all 12 games, I think they're in the Big 12 title game because the conference is so, or because the schedule is so much easier than it is for even Kansas State. That'd be the team to watch, I think, but it all depends on if Jalen Daniels can stay healthy, which obviously is a huge question mark going into the season.
Yeah, because there's no Bean to back him up. You know, there's no Bean, correct, you know, sitting there to back him up. Missouri, obviously, we're talking Big 12 with Kansas State. Missouri's just sitting out there. Have they turned that corner, in your opinion? Have they turned that program? Can they be a marquee program in the SEC?
I think that they're – I don't know if you consider what Ole Miss has been to be a marquee program, Bank, but I think that Missouri can find themselves in that light with what Coach Drinkwitz has done, where they're not an elite. You know, they're not a Georgia, they're not an Alabama, they're not a Texas, but they're up there with LSU and Ole Miss in terms of consistency.
Drew?
And he leads you all the way.
Yeah, and as far as Missouri, you know, Cody Schrader does leave. He goes to the NFL. He's out with San Francisco right now. But Marcus Carroll coming in, you know, from Georgia State. Nate Noel coming in from App State. They get some really big-time dogs in that backfield this year.
Yeah, I think that is the biggest one of the biggest questions surrounding Missouri is Cody Schrader was so good last year. He's gone. But you bring in two really good running backs who Marcus Carroll can be that bell cow. Nate Noel can be a little bit of that lightning in that combination. If they can replace the production that Cody Schrader had combined, it might even help them, obviously, that it's a two-horse duo instead of just a one-horse back, you know, obviously carrying the load. Defensively is going to be the big question for Missouri. Can they be good enough on the defensive end where they can gap themselves in games? Missouri's got a lighter schedule. The toughest games that they have are at A&M, at Alabama, and then Oklahoma at home. 10-2, I think, gets them into the playoff because they're in the SEC and they're going to get that nod. Defensively, though, if they can just maintain and be in the middle of the pack in the SEC, the offense is good enough where they can carry the load and they're going to elevate that Missouri team into their first college football playoff appearance.
You know, it's funny. I think the local schools have the best three coaches they've ever had at one time. And this, though, Bill Snyder's obviously better than Chris Klieman, in my opinion. Gary Pinkel's better than Eli Drinkwitz. But the fact that you have Lance Leipold at Kansas, Klieman, you know, Klieman's got four national titles, FCS. Lance Leipold's got six at the Division III level. And then there's Eli Drinkwitz as well. I think they've both done a tremendous job. For Kansas and Kansas State, listen, Klieman wasn't a huge splash because he wasn't Division I, even though I was like, man, they get a guy that wins. This guy's, you know, won at the FCS level. He's a big reason why Carson Wentz was drafted when he was because of what he did there for him. And then you got Lance Leipold because Kansas was all going out for flash and sizzle. You know, like Charlie Weiss, they went that. And then they brought in Dave Beatty, who is credited for recruiting Johnny Manziel to A&M, and he was their recruiting coordinator there and spent all his time, you know, with Louisiana kids and Texas kids and really neglecting a lot of the kids. I've heard from local high school coaches, one coach that's won a state title, that's had over 35 guys go play college football the previous 3 years. He said Kansas never went and visited him. Said he'd see all these other coaches come into his high school, but not Kansas. Then obviously that's changed with Lance Leipold, but I found that very interesting that Kansas was kind of neglecting those people. But, I mean, outside of Bill Snyder and Gary Pinkel, obviously they're legends at their school, and it's going to be hard to replace them. But to have all three of these guys at once being hungry in the new age of name, image, and likeness, Kansas City's got a real treat. College football season is going to be fun in this town.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting to follow here in the Kansas City area and just in the state of Missouri and Kansas, respectively. I think it is interesting when you look at Lance Leipold is just a program builder. The dude just builds up programs and wins and finds ways to do it, even in the most impossible of circumstances, it seems. Did it at Wisconsin Whitewater as a legend there. He did it at Buffalo. He's doing it at Kansas now. Coach Klieman, I mean, he lands Lincoln Cure. Who would have thought that a five-star, I know he's a Kansas guy, but who would have thought that a five-star kid would be going to Kansas State over Oregon, over A&M, over, you know, over Texas Oil Bank? Like, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, and to keep him in state, though, I still think that's a pretty big deal considering Kansas being his rival.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, Drinkwitz, he's, it's interesting, on one of the podcasts, a couple podcasts ago, 249 Miles of Football podcast, if I went and I looked at who would be in the Hall of Fame, who would be in the College Football Hall of Fame as things currently sit. And if you go off of their entire resume, all of them, Coach Klieman, Coach Leipold, and Coach Drinkwitz, all of them would be on pace to meet their criteria for being College Football Hall of Famers, obviously with what Coach Leipold did at Wisconsin-Whitewater, and then what Coach Klieman did at North Dakota State in particular. Yeah. Coach Drinkwitz is on pace. I mean, he's got the, over the 60% win percentage in games. He just has to coach long enough, and he technically would be eligible. So it's a great time to be a fan of just local college football in general.
Yeah, I mean, there's 10 national titles between Leipold and Klieman at different levels of the NCAA. Mm. Final question for you, because I am curious what you think of this. So I see a tweet on X from NFL Rookie Watch. Travis Hunter, obviously one of the most fantastic players in the nation for Colorado, transferred from Jackson State, originally committed to Florida State, went to Jackson State, now he's in Colorado. Many NFL scouts reportedly believe Hunter's ceiling, a.k.a. wide receiver, could look something like Justin Jefferson. Well, some NFL scouts reportedly believe Hunter's ceiling could be Jalen Ramsey. Many teams reportedly prefer Hunter as a wide receiver as of now. Hey, he's a hell of a defensive back. I do think it took a couple steps back last year at Colorado. Which position would you play him at mostly for the next level? Would you draft him as a wide receiver, defensive back? Which direction are you going?
That's a really tough question. I think I would go corner. I don't know if Travis will do that because there's more money if he wants to go the money route, essentially. I mean, he's good enough to be a wide receiver. He might go that angle if he wants to make the most money. But I think from him being able to make plays, not necessarily lock guys down. I mean, he's more of a guy like Jalen Ramsey where he might let a guy get away from him, but if the ball's thrown his way, I mean, he is a playmaker, a ball hawk type of guy that can really impact your team. I think I would draft him at corner just because of his playmaking ability.
But yeah, play him at corner, and you know what? Sneak a few plays in on offense. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah, sure.
There's no reason he can't do that.
Absolutely, Vink.
Not only that, he's, dude, we're getting close, man. We're getting so close to week zero in college football. I can't wait, but your 249 Miles of Football is a great podcast. If people are jonesing for local college football news, and I know a lot of times you'll hear it say, why aren't you talking K-State more or Kansas or talking about Missouri? Now, Chris and I talk about this stuff on character concerns, but it's a little bit different because we're looking more at the draft and we're looking at the matchups for which draft picks to keep watching, but Drew breaks it all down, and he also does I've also seen his previews of every team in NCAA college football, and it's unbelievable what he does. But usually put this out on Wednesdays, right? But this week went on Thursday?
Normally it's Wednesday morning, Jess. It came out today because I wanted to get in Lance Leipold and stuff that he said during media days. So next week we'll be back on Wednesdays. Next week, to plug it real quick, we did a podcast on how Kansas wins the Big 12. This next one will be on how Kansas State wins the Big 12, and then we'll do one later in the month to wrap up July on how Missouri can win the SEC.
Well, it's great listening whether you're at home and you want to listen to it and hear some good college football takes, especially about the local programs. Check out the fantastic work by Drew Nix, and you can check it out on the Odyssey app or 610sports.com. It's right there under the 435 Podcast Network where we have our different podcasts that we do here at 610 Sports Radio. Drew, of course, also a producer of Cody and Gold. You'll be working tomorrow, so we'll see you then, my friend.
Thank you very much, Bink. I really appreciate you having me on.
There you go. Drew Nixon right there. Interesting stuff right there. I'll get back to that in the local coaches, but we'll switch gears once again to the National Football League because not only do I want to look at the divisions, which I haven't done yet, but the over-unders are out for wide receivers. I'm curious where we all sit on that. We'll do that next.